Hi, this is Michael Klosser here, back again today with another message from the Word of God. And I told you last week in our subject about meeting God that we were going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So get your Bibles and open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Thank you. Before I start reading verse 1 of chapter 8, I want to read verse 9. This is the context that I'm looking for. We're wanting to get to the place of what is happening in verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 reads this: "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich." So here's this verse. This is a really critical verse. He said he wants to explain the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. The logic of this is that Jesus became poor to meet people. People were already poor. These people were excessively poor. And so he became poor. Now he'll meet you in your poverty. And then because he's met you in his poverty, in your poverty, you have co-equal positioning there, that you become communion with him, you join with him because you join with who he is. He's got poverty, you got poverty. There's the meeting ground. There you've met God. And then from that position, now you're in Christ because you've met God. In he brought a condition such that because of your poverty, you can come into his position. You join up with him, you share with him because you've got the same common ground, poverty. And then the scripture says, now because you have common ground, you can be made rich. How can I be made rich? Well, because you're joined up with Jesus Christ, you have common ground with Jesus Christ. Now there's other principles of Jesus Christ that you can put to work and come out of your poverty into the wealth. Well, I can do that anyway. Well, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what he's done. You know, if you have to go out and get a second job, that doesn't mean that God's principles are working for you. We're learning about Jesus Christ in this. And his word is telling us something. And we think, well, I don't know if that can work. That means that we just don't understand how it works. It does work. And that's what the Apostle Paul is teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me read it again. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich." And the only way that can work is if you join up with Jesus Christ. Because you've met Christ on the common ground of poverty, now that you're in Christ, employ some other principle of God, some other principle of Jesus Christ, and come out of that poverty into wealth. That's the whole concept of us meeting God. We meet him somehow, somewhere. And when we meet with him, we enter into him and become a part of him. And then once we're inside of him, so to speak, or once we're joined up with him, once we have a common union with him, now we can use some of his other principles and come into common union with his wealth and his prosperity and his abundance and his eternal life. So that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get to. He's trying to tell him, yes, yes, this is what happened. And so I'll begin reading now in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. And I'll tell you what, this is one time when I prefer a different translation besides the King James Version. I can get through the King James Version, but it's a little clouded up in modern day thinking. So I'm going to read out of the Amplified Translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, "We want to tell you further, brethren, that the grace, the favor, the spiritual blessing of God, which has been evident in the churches of Macedonia, has arisen them to desire to give alms." So he's saying, let me tell you this blessing that's going on in the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2, "For in the middle of an ordeal of severe tribulation, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty have overflowed in wealth to lavish generosity on their part." So Paul is telling him, Hey, I want to tell you the story about these Macedonians and the grace of God that has come in there. He said these people were in desperate situations. They were in deep poverty. Now, beginning in verse 3, and here's how they came out of it. Verse 3, I can bear witness. They gave according to their ability, oh yes, and beyond their ability, and they did it voluntarily. Not only did they do it voluntarily, but he says that they're begging us, verse 4, begging us most insistently that the contribution that they're about to make to the saints that are suffering in Jerusalem, they're begging us to contribute with them. That is, they want to employ the leadership of the church, the Apostle Paul and his fellows, to bring that gift that they have to the suffering saints in Jerusalem. But this is how they're coming out of their poverty. See, they're in deep poverty, and now they're coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ because of the depth of their poverty. Now they're in relationship with Jesus Christ, and they're saying, we want to give to the saints. We want to give to the relief and support of the saints in Jerusalem. And then the Apostle Paul says, this gift of theirs, was it merely their contribution? And that's what we expected, something that they would contribute. But he says they went beyond that, and they gave themselves to the Lord and to us. Paul said they reached in and dug deep, gave a gift that was beyond what the Apostle Paul would have expected. He said they gave themselves not only their contribution, they gave themselves to the Lord, and they gave themselves to us and said, we'll do whatever you say. We'll obey what you have to say. So much so that we have urged Titus that as he began, he should also complete this big beneficence and gracious contribution among you, the church at Corinth. So he's saying, they put themselves at our disposal and said, we'll do whatever you say. They yielded themselves to the Lord. They yielded themselves to the principles of God. And the principle of God that they yielded themselves to is give and it shall be given. Give and it shall be given. So they said, we're going to give. And we know that it shall be given. And so they entreated the Apostle Paul, said, hey, you guys, come with us. Be a part of us. We want this contribution to come to the saints, to relieve the saints at Jerusalem. And so please, we have to have your help in this. Paul saw the effect of Titus's ministry. Titus had brought this to these people. And he said, man, it was so awesome. We're just going to call Titus and get him back involved in it. He says, Titus taught you guys this, and so Titus, we want you to complete the work. Furthermore, Paul said, I want you to share in this gift. I want you to share in what's happening here. The grace of God has come down to Macedonia, and Titus has authorized people to come closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and occupy his principles, obey his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Bless the people. And he's urging us to go with him and bless as well. And so he says, I want you, Church of Corinthians, to excel in this grace also. So Paul is saying, I want you to share in this great grace. I want you to understand what's happened here and come into further fullness with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul says, you already excelled at a number of things. You excel in faith. You excel in expressing yourselves and in knowledge. And he says, come into this gift as well. So then comes verse 9. The Apostle Paul is sort of putting his stamp of approval on this concept. And the concept of the grace that God has bestowed on the Macedonians. And he says, because God has bestowed it on them, he can bestow it on you in Corinth. So grow the church. Grow in this grace. You already have faith. You already have knowledge. You already have a number of things that come to you from the kingdom of God. And he says, abound in this grace also. Then here's his stamp of approval. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. And this is the secret of why this works. You ready? It's because they are in Christ when they're doing it. They are in Christ when they're doing it. Listen to this verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Did you catch that? It's in Christ. It's in Christ, and that's why it works. Everything works when it's in Christ. The victory that overcomes the world because it's in Christ. The principle of give and it shall be given works because it's in Christ. What do you think Christianity is? It's all about Jesus Christ. It's everything about Jesus Christ. And the fact is, he comes into you and he'll meet you. Paul says he'll meet you in your poverty. Because he was rich, he became poor. Therefore, he became poverty. You're already in your poverty. Now you've met up with God. Now you meet God. And from that place of meeting God, you come into Christ more fully and more completely by working and doing the principles of God in other parts of God, in other parts of Christ. You know, I feel like I'm going to catch a lot of flack for saying these kinds of things because people can't understand it, and so they want to condemn it. If they don't get it, if they don't understand it, they want to condemn it. But I'll tell you something. There's a scripture verse that says, the works, Jesus speaking, he says, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. How can you do greater works than Jesus Christ unless you're in Christ? How can you do greater works than Jesus Christ outside of Christ? It's impossible, right? So our concept of living in Christ, operating in Christ, working the principles and the promises of God in Christ takes the humanness out of the picture. It's not me doing anything. It's Christ in me that's accomplishing these things. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And now that he's in you, put him to work. Engage in Christ Jesus. You see, this is how God has designed to bring his kingdom to the earth. And you know, Jesus said one time, he said, this message of the kingdom must be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. This principle that I'm telling you of engaging in Christ, coming into a common union with Christ, and then functioning in this world for Christ or on Christ's behalf as a Christian. Aren't you a Christian? This is how God brings his kingdom into the earth. You see, so many people are wanting God to bring his kingdom to the earth the way a human would bring his kingdom to the earth. This is where you knock heads and you swing your elbows and you push people around and you establish your kingdom. But that's not the way God establishes his kingdom. God says, I will give my glory to none other. You see, we've known some of these principles of Jesus Christ's life and way of living. We know some of them, and we recognize that they work. And you pray for a day when God will ignite them for you that they do work. Well, I'll tell you what the ignition fuse is. It's Jesus Christ. And so when you come into him, you're connected with him. Now you have common union with Jesus Christ. And from that common union, you can speak things that were before impossible. But they're not impossible because you're speaking them in Christ. That's the key. Can you speak them in Christ? Can you do them in Christ? You see, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and Paul is saying, man, I got to tell you, the grace of God showed up here in Macedonia, and these people were in deep poverty, and then they gave their way out of it. And they were so excited, they were so filled with joy, that the Apostle Paul said, man, take a look at this, take note of this. And they said, who got this started? Well, it was Titus was ministering to them, he got it started. And so he says, we're calling Titus back in on this situation. We're turning it back over to him. He's done such an awesome job. We're not going to step in and get any of the credit for it. We're not going to interfere with what he's done here. We're going to bring him back on the scene. So these churches in Macedonia had met God. And the reason they met him was because the Apostle Paul said, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. I can say it like this, that through his poverty, you meet God. And then when you meet God, you might be rich because You're in Christ. Can you see that? So I've penciled out three things. One, meet God. You know, if you're if you have some issues in your experience, in your past events of your life, or you think, well, God could never forgive me, look what I've done. Or God could never deal with me, look what I've done. I have physical problems. I've got physical diseases. God couldn't use me. You're missing the whole point. The whole point is, he became those things. When Jesus was on the cross, he became every infirmity that there is. He became every infirmity so that you can come to the cross and meet Christ in your infirmity. Well, he was infirm at one time, and you have an infirmity. Now you've got common union. Now you're in Christ. Now that you're in Christ, step up and do something positive in Christ. Do something of Christ in another area of your life. And because you've met Christ and stayed in Christ, now you can grow out of the infirmity that you're in. You can grow out of the sins and the hurts that you've lived through. You can grow out of them because Christ grew out of them. He rose from the dead. Man, what an awesome God. Over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. See that word meet in there? It's thanks unto the Father, which has made us able or fit to partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. So when he says he's made us meet, he said he'll meet us. He'll meet us. He's made us fitting. He's made us meet. He's made us to where we meet him. He's made us to where we can have communion with him. He's met us, and therefore we can partake of the inheritance of the saints. Verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's not just any old kingdom. That's the kingdom of the Son of God. That's the kingdom of Christ. That's where you enter into Christ. In your poverty, you meet Christ when he was in his poverty. And now that you're in Christ, you're able to meet Christ in every other area of his life. That means you can participate in anything that brings a blessing to the inheritance of the saints of God. Anything that is improving your life through Jesus Christ, he says, you're fit to receive that. Well, how am I fit? It's because you've met God. You've been delivered from the powers of darkness, and you've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is the kingdom of the Son of God. And his kingdom is for sons of God. Anybody that is a son of God can participate in his kingdom. The kingdom of the Son of God is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God and man combined together. You are man and God combined together. Therefore, you've met God. Thus, you have met God. But I'm only a human. I can't be God. Don't say something like that if you're in the kingdom of God. If you're not in the kingdom of God, wait a minute, let me say it like this. If you're not in the kingdom of the Son of God, then no, you can't do these things. But if you are in the kingdom of God, and he's a God-man combo unit, and you happen to be a man-God combo unit, therefore you've met Christ. You've met God. You've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, you might be living in this world and you've had a lot of problems, a lot of infirmities, a lot of illnesses, a lot of sicknesses, a lot of sinful things that have happened in your life, a lot of abuse that's taken place in your life. And he says, I'm delivering you out of that power, and I'm transferring you into this kingdom of the Son of God. And now that you're in the kingdom, you can function with kingdom principles. They work now because you are a part of the kingdom of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Think about that a minute. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. Maybe that's too much to chew on. Maybe that's too big of a bite to swallow. But it's the truth. Amen. The three principles: meet God, number one. Number two, apply the new principles. And number three, receive the divine harvest. I call it God's outreach program. God reaches out. He becomes like we are. He reaches out to us and we meet him for what we are. Poverty, he has poverty. Illness, he's had illness. Infirmities, he had infirmities. Been mistreated, he's been mistreated. Been lied to, yeah, you've been lied to. Don't let any of these things take you out of the race. These are things that can bring you into the kingdom of God. When I think about this, the only thing I can say is, oh, the love of God. For whatever infirmity, whatever illness, whatever problem we are in, he's been there, done that, and arose from the dead of it. Amen. Praise God. And he says, you come into me, and from there we'll operate new principles. You'll find the joy of the Lord in the victory that overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God bless y'all. Tune in next week for another Bible message. Amen. God bless.